Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Laura W. from South Jersey, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. Today is Thursday, March 2nd, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Big Book Study. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 64, the third paragraph, starting with, "Resentment is the number one offender," ending with, "We were burned up," at the top of the next page. Today's readers are, thank you everybody for your service, The 12 Steps, Christy K., The 12 Traditions, Alex K., readers of the text, Penny L.C., Jody E., and Dawn B. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, March 1st, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, was 20,007, that's 20,007. And for this morning's meeting, Thursday, March 2nd, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,014. That's 20014. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry this message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Christy K. to read the 12 steps of OA, please.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Christy K., and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater from Washington State. And these are the 12 steps of OA. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Christy K. Thank you for your service. I will now ask Alex K. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you. Alex K., recovered compulsive eater in California. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thanks, Alex K. Thank you for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direction for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop to share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 again to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, we ask that everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And please try not to use speakerphone, as it does interfere with the recording. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 64, the third paragraph, starting with, resentment is the number one offender, ending with, we were burned up, reading that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Penny L.C. to begin reading.
Yes, thank you, Laura, for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stems all forms of spiritual disease. For we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. We asked ourselves why we were angry. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. So we were sore. We were burned up. And in reflecting on this paragraph, I think about the definition of resentment. And the textbook definition is bitter indignation at having been treated unfairly or negative emotional reaction to being mistreated. But I have to ask myself, for me, were those actual mistreatments or treatment unfairly? Or was it my perception? Because the definition I was given by a sponsor was to resent, was to feel over and over, and boy, I could do that. And so I had to look at my perception of what was going on. And I was burned up at everybody and everything around me. And without a doubt, I had a spiritual problem that needed and could only be solved with a spiritual solution. My mental and emotional problem would always turn me to the food. That's all I knew. Life wasn't fair, and my binge foods would fix it. So this paragraph tells me that I need to get to work. I need to take some action and do the columns 1 through 3. And first of all, the steps 1 through 3 led me to a new direction, of relying on a new director. And so now I had to do the soul surgery, as someone calls it, to uncover my truth, to determine what is the thinking process that gets me in trouble, to take an inventory of my beliefs and my motives. I always was sure I was right. But instead, I was told, if you are right, there is no need to be resentful. If you are wrong, there is no right to be resentful. And that was, a real turning point for me to consider that, because I always just thought I was, I was entitled to be resentful. That was simple. But in doing this work, I got to see a new perspective, a new way of thinking and doing and being. And the promise is given here in the paragraph that I will straighten out mentally and physically when I do this work. And so it is worth it. Not easy, but it's worth it. It's worth the pain of doing it, because that's a whole lot less than the pain of not doing it. So on we go to the fourth step, and with that I'll pass.
Thanks, Penny LC. Thanks for getting us started. Before I open the line up for sharing, I just want to let everybody know that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on any Vision for You meeting on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, please step back and let others share their experience, strength, and hope. Please give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Freya H.
Freya H.
Veronica B.
Veronica B.
Amanda A.
Amanda A.
Rella R.
Io A.
Rella R. And who was after Rella?
Io A.
Io A.
Yes.
Can you spell your first name for me?
A-Y-O.
A-Y-O. Great. I-O-A. And I could take one more in this round. Okay. I've got Freya H., Veronica B., Amanda A., Rella R., and I-O-A. Freya H., please go ahead and tell us where you're calling from.
Thank you. This is Freya H., a recovered food addict, compulsive eater, bulimic restrictor in Colorado. Thank you for your service, everybody here. I wanted to share in this paragraph because it explains to us why we're doing this. You know, like people ask the question, like, well, how is looking at my resentments going to solve this food problem? And this gives us a little bridge from they're telling us this is why. The previous paragraph says, we're going to consider the common manifestations of self. So this is how we see self showing up, is if we look at our resentments, then it gives us a clue into our self-centered attitudes, ideas, behaviors, beliefs. So it tells us, you know, by looking at our resentments, we are going to we're going to get access to find out, to uncover that stuff. And I love the very simple description. It says, that we have been, when it tells us that, yes, there's a mental, physical, spiritual sickness, and that by addressing the spiritual part, the rest of it is going to straighten out. That is such a huge promise and such a hopeful statement. And then it gives us directions. You know, it gives us very specific directions. We set them on paper. We write them down. We list them. And then, we ask ourselves why we're angry. And when I write this stuff, when I actually write down the question, why am I angry? And then I write down the answer, so much more is revealed than if I just think about it or even talk about it with someone else. It's like when I'm writing the question on paper, it's as if I'm asking God, like I'm creating a framework where God is going to answer me. So I always start my or I've been taught to start my resentment, my inventories with a prayer, just like, God, help me see the truth about this resentment, about this fear, about, you know, I just trust that you're going to show me whatever you want to show me. And then I put pen to paper and God, you know, whatever is revealed is what God wants to be revealed. And the last thing I'll say is, you know, looking at the instincts that are affected is so powerful, because then I really own the resentment. It's no longer about the other person. I'm able to see, oh, this is really bugging me because it's affecting this instinct or that instinct, and it's no longer about them. And then, you know, as we continue with inventory, we really look more deeply at our part. And by the time I'm done, hopefully I have been freed of this resentment, which I can't wish away on my own. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Freya H. from Colorado. Thank you for sharing with us. Veronica B., you're up next.
Good morning. I'm Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater in California. And thank you so much for your service. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. Well, that's why I ate. I ate because I was resentful. I was, but really what it was is the bottom line is I was in fear. Whenever I felt threatened or regret, shame, all that led to fear for me. And, you know, I don't know what happened to me growing up. I didn't get the manual guide on how to be a mature adult as far as my emotions were involved. Because at a very young age, I remember feeling like overly sensitive and underloved. I don't know where it came from. It just, that's how I was wired. Well, really sensitive and underloved. And as a result, I used food, and food would just take all that away for a couple of minutes. Food just kind of changed my perception for a little bit, made everything go away, you know. And as a result, like, I didn't really know how to be mature about when, as an adult, when I didn't get my way or when I had disappointments. And when I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I was told that there is a solution here, that really what I have is a spiritual malady. My whole life I felt like I wanted to connect to God, really. That was what the missing link for me. And so I used food to fill that up. And they said I had to do this fourth step, like I had to get down to why, what kind of thinking was behind my fear, my resentment. And this is part of the process, getting down to what my thinking, why my thinking leads me where it leads me, and so that I can feel connected to God, because really that's what I'm longing for, a connection with God. And the resentment tells me here that the resentment's going to block me from that. So I did the work, and I got my spiritual awakening, and today I feel connected to God. I feel like no matter what happens, I'm going to be taken care of. You know, and that's the feeling that I was going for my whole life. And I only get that from getting the God of my understanding through doing this work and trusting the process and staying in the middle, staying connected to you guys, and getting responsible for my recovery and my thinking process. So thank you so much for letting me share. Everyone have a good day.
Thanks, Veronica B. from California. Thank you for sharing with us. Up next is Amanda A. Amanda, please press star one.
Hi, everyone. This is Amanda A. I'm from Southern California. Very grateful to be here and on the line with everybody. I am recovered compulsive overeater. Recently finished my 12 steps and had my spiritual awakening. And it is absolutely a beautiful, beautiful thing to go through these steps and to be able to get these promises. And today I have these wonderful tools that help me clear out those resentments, because they are the number one offender. And you know, even the small ones, even little ones that come up, and being connected to my higher power, they give me such a gift of if a resentment does come up or if there's something that's bothering me. God brings me to these tools, and God will put people in my life and phone calls and text messages, and he will speak through them. And it's so wonderful to be able to have this. I never thought I was a very resentful person, and looking at my life and looking at how my resentments show up a lot in fear as well, they are all over the place. And I am so grateful that I have a connection with my higher power and that I've been able to work through these steps and continue to work these steps to keep this gift that was given to me. So with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amanda A. from California. Before Rella R. shares, I'm just going to remind everybody where we're at. We are on page 64 of the Big Book, third paragraph. Resentment is the number one offender, ending with, we were burned up, reading and sharing on that one paragraph only. Rella R., followed by IOA. Rella, please share with us.
Hi, Rella R., recovering compulsive overeater, who remembered to press star one instead of star six. Yeah, the number one offender and destroys more of me than anything else. Oh my, I feel like sometimes I've been a resentment factory. Just manufacturing them and then preserving them very carefully. Yeah, so for years I kind of thought that if I, you know, I try to think of why I hold on to the resentments because they're really, you know, negative and they pull me down. I think it's because in my childish mind, I thought that this way I could protect myself from that person or persons or life or whatever, not hurting me again. Like if I held on to it strongly enough, I'd be protected and aware and, you know, bad things wouldn't happen to me. But that doesn't work that way. And it also created a lot of distrust in my relationships and isolation. And probably the worst is the sense of victimhood, of being wronged. And thank God, I've been in this program for many years, haven't always been maintaining my abstinence, but I'm in 3.5 weeks now, thank God. And my wonderful sponsor is taking the time to read through the Big Book again with me, share her recovery with me. And I'm grateful that I'm recognizing when there is resentments are weighing on me and how quickly I need to get rid of them, because they will, if not right then, they will continue, they will affect my, they will lower my resistance for sure. And I will want to seek relief from them. I've become so good at them actually, and they've been so much part of my life that I don't always know that I'm carrying this stuff around with me. And it used to be that I could catch myself in the food and then I would say, okay, what's going on? But I don't want it to get to that point. I don't want to have to be in it, the food, to be the reminder. So I'm grateful for this wonderful format that I received for doing a 10 step, which really gives me pause and gives me an ability to express it, identify it, see my part in it, pray over it, and ask what God would have me be. And it's not over usually. There's more work to be done. I had an incident yesterday. Someone, a lovely friend, treated me out for my birthday, but she was kind of harried and changed the venue and then complained that the prices were too high. And I just felt so disappointed. And I was feeling resentful. And she picked up on it. And I'm glad that I came home, got into a nice warm bath, and had time to think about it and said, really, you're going to go to sleep and you want to be done with it by tomorrow and please God. And even if I'm not, at least be aware that I'm having it and activate my tools, use all my tools and prayer to let it go, whatever time it takes. And this is part of it. The share that I'm doing is part of it, and gratitude for her efforts, recognizing that people aren't perfect,
gentle
looking
reminder.
For the good. Thank you. I will wrap up. And looking for the fact that she tried, and that's huge. She's a friend, and she tried to do something nice for me. And I don't need to take her inventory. I can be busy now thinking of how she could have done it better. But I'm learning, thanks to this program, to focus on how I can receive it better. So that's what I've got for today. Thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Rella R. And Rella, where are you calling from? Rella, where are you calling from, please?
Brooklyn, New York.
New York. Thanks, Rella, from New York. Up next is Io A. Io, please share with us.
Greetings. I'm Io, compulsive overeater. I'm from Southern California, and I'm a newcomer. I only have 3 days, and I just wanted to check in because, one, I was so grateful for all the people who reached out yesterday, and I shared that I fell asleep 3 times in this meeting, and because of the work that my sponsor asked me to do and being able to interact with so many people in recovery, I decided to try to be active so I wouldn't fall asleep. So I don't have a lot to say. I just am so grateful to be, you know, in this program and to be introduced to Vision. And I do want to say about the reading, I noticed that it said that this was a manifestation of self that defeated us, which, you know, I never thought of resentment being about me. I think about resentments being about other people that did something to me. So just listening to people talk about how this is another, you know, area in which we will have to look at ourselves and look at our part, that's going to be very new for me. I lived a very passive-aggressive life where I focused on how to act and to act in the right way, regardless of what I'm feeling. And so I've walked around with a lot of resentment, but tried not to act like I was resentful. And just as people are talking, I'm recognizing many resentments that I have. So I just wanted to check in, thank everyone for their service, and I wanted to be engaged in the meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, IOA from Southern California. Welcome, welcome home. Keep coming back. Before I take the next lineup, I'm just letting everybody know where we are. We're on page 64 of the big book, the third paragraph. Resentment is the number one offender, ending with, we were burned up. So although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any Vision meeting, please give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Mo H.
Mo H.
Fiesta Jackson.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that? Who is after Mo H?
Cleaster Jackson. Cleaster J.
Cleaster J.
Agnes A.
Agnes A.
Miriam H.
Debbie.
I got Miriam H. There was somebody else. Was there a Debbie?
Tanusha B.
Can you spell that for me?
T-H-E-N-U-S-H-A. Tanusha B as in boy, Southern California.
Tanusha B from Southern California. This is who I have so far. I've got Mo H, Cleaster J, Agnes A, Miriam H, and Tanusha B. And I could take one more.
Pamela P.
I got Pamela P. Okay, Mo H, please press star one and share with us.
Well, thank you, Laurel. Thank you for your service and everyone on this line. My name is Mo H, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater and a grateful member of this Vision meeting. Okay, resentments. Okay, what I want to say, first of all, is I spent years in the program never learning how to do a proper fourth step. To me, this fourth step is right here in the big book. The instructions are right here. And it wasn't until I got on the Vision meeting and I had a sponsor guiding me through these columns that I really began to understand how resentments work. That they are the number one offender? Nope, not in my life. It was always your fault, not my fault. And I didn't realize that I ate because I had so many feelings. I had resentments. I had fears. I had all of that above. And I just thought that I liked to eat. It wasn't about anything else. But here it is. It says that I have a spirit. You know, I am not only mentally and physically ill, but I have been spiritually sick. And it says when this spiritual malady is overcome, and that means when my disconnection to God is overcome, and then we straighten out mentally and physically, which is a promise of the program. When I am working these steps and working on my part, which is the fourth column in this part of the fourth step, it shows me where I need to clean up my act. And, you know, as I heard before, you know, resentment, I heard the Latin form re means to do again, and sentire means to feel. And resentment is re-feeling it over and over and over again. And the way I re-feel it is I run it around in my head. I keep thinking about it, you know, and how I'm going to get this person back or this institution back or how I'm going to whatever. And today, I don't have to do that anymore. I can reach out. I can work this fourth step. I do now a lot of 10 steps to help me get out of myself and into what's going on and where's my part, and then how can I help somebody else? Because when I help somebody else, it always, most of the time, it calms the voices in my head down, which, you know, can take me down and can keep me awake at night and all of that. So that's what I have to say. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Mo. Thanks for sharing with us. Up next is Cleaster J. Please press star 1 and let us know where you're calling from. Cleaster J, please press star 1. Okay, maybe she had to step off the line. Is Agnes A available to share?
Good morning, fellow visioners. Thank you all for your service. I try to share every Thursday just to clean my seat in the house. Resentment, God. I'm in my fourth step inventory. This is the first time I'm doing it the vision way, so it's quite a new experience. You know, but let me just state what I heard so far this morning that resonated with me. Somebody said, if you're wrong after you set your resentments on paper, then you have no right to be resentful. And if you're right, there's no need to be resentful. So that's a gem I'll take. But when I came back this time around, it was really resentment that brought me. I had a very, very strong resentment against a family member that was occupying space in my head, making me have difficulty to sleep. And, you know, but fortunately, I had a sister that kept on saying, you know, from program of 32 years, you can't afford the luxury of resentment. Resentment closes the channel with God. Resentment is a spiritual malady. If you're dealing with resentment, you know, just gave me literature, pointed me to this passage, and basically wound it down to, you have an expectation of somebody that is realistic or not realistic, and they failed you. So it's really expectation that is the number one problem, because they are planned resentment. If people don't meet up to my expectations, you know, then I resent them, and then I eat the poison and I expect them to die. So I'm learning to deal with resentments in a new way, by just letting people be, you know, just not having expectations of them, letting them surprise me. And if they do something, I say, well, they didn't know any better, or they're sick, they're sick as I am, but I must deal with the resentment so it goes away. And this tells me how to deal with the resentment, that I can't afford them. That's why I eat. It's those resentments that I haven't dealt with that make me eat. So my thing about resentment is, you know, check for my part in it. Always check for my part in it. The same way that it says clean up my side of the street is the same way that I clean up and recognize what is driving that resentment, the failed expectation, the ambition, the fear. And by the time I'm done with this spiritual way of dealing with it, life is good again, which is why I have the peace that passes all understanding. And I'm going through difficulty at work, and I'm actually happy, and I smile, and I say, thank you, God, right, for this is okay. I am okay. You know, this is the way it's supposed to be. So thank you for letting me share. I can't afford resentments, and I'm happy not to rent them space in my head, and I move on with a happy life. Thanks. I pass.
Thanks, Agnes A. Thank you for sharing with us. Is Cleaster J back with us and able to share?
This is Cleaster J.
Hey, Cleaster, go ahead and share with us. Thank you.
Okay, yes. I don't know what's going on with my phone, but thanks, first of all, those who continue to lead and those who continue to call and those people who are continually being in recovery, which is myself. I've been in program a very long time, but this resentment is the number one offender. I think one of the things that I want to say that newcomers and people are still in it because I'm in it, is that I continue to grow in this program. And I've done a couple 4 steps, but one of the things I'm working on, my 10th step, and I was reminded yesterday from a former sponsor. She said, I haven't heard you online. And I was like, okay, I'm working a little bit now and da-da-da, but I am continuing to work my program. But for me, the resentment, I didn't understand it, but part of it, I knew I was pissed. I knew it was something inside, it was whatever. And today, you know, thank God to the program and the newcomer that just was on the line a few minutes ago, is that, you know, it's almost like going to school or getting, you know, understanding. The more you work it, the better you get at it. And that's the, at least for me, that's what's happened with the program. I came back into program, I came in for the weight. I'm staying because of the promises. And one of the things, as we continue to work the program, we will see spiritual growth. And I think with me the other day, something was minor, but it ticked me off, and I said something to someone, and I thought I said it in a right, nice way. But it bothered me because there was really the resentment was, you know, why was I feeling that way? Was like the program says, what was the cause? I was feeling hurt. My feelings were hurt, da-da-da. And my tone, probably what I said was okay, my tone was not. And so I actually ended up doing a 10-step with that person and with my sister because they were kind of having this little side conversation on the phone about me. And I was hurt. And so I, when I did my resentment, I realized and I said to them, I was hurt, my feelings. And so I don't have to take their inventory, I just have to take mine. And so that has been helpful for me because, you know, there's a lot of things we hold on to. One of my favorites is that I have to keep my street clean. I have to keep my street clean for me to have my contact with God. I have to keep my street clean so that I can have good abstinence. And I have to keep my street clean because it keeps me happy, keeps me spiritual, it keeps me right. And so with that, I will pass. And thank you, Reggie, for reminding me to call if you're online. Thank you.
Thanks, Cleaster J. Cleaster, where are you calling from? Cleaster, where are you calling from? Okay, that was Cleaster J.
I'm calling Cleaster J from Atlanta.
Atlanta, thank you. Okay. Up next, we have Miriam H., followed by Sanusha B. Miriam, please press star 1 and share with us.
Good morning. This is Miriam H., and I'm from Southern California. And thank you, meeting, for being here. You know, I'm just in love with what everybody has had to share this morning from their heart, and I'm a big ditto with all of it. You know, I think that these are just kind of like we've been reading in here all these reasons why, you know, we've listened to all these reasons why we need to do this work, and this paragraph just spells it out. We don't have any option anymore. To go back to the food is to die. to go back to resentment, to be in resentment is putting me one step in the grave. So I need to trust and move forward and take out the I know I don't like to write, I don't want this or that. Take out the paper and the pencil and just put it down. It seems so simple, but there are times that I just balk and say, well, what is this going to do for my spiritual malady? How is this going to help me? How is this going to help me straighten out, like it says, mentally and physically? I just, you know, it just works. I've done many inventories, and for me, each inventory led me led me to another inventory, and it's all okay. I mean, my first one was like 100 pages typed, doubled space, and I was really going off in a different direction. But that inventory and being willing to take a crack at it led me, and not perfectly, led me to where I am today. So I guess my point is, it doesn't have to be, if people are balking, it doesn't have to be a perfect inventory. A good sponsor will work with you on what you've put down. And perfectionism isn't the key, it's the willingness. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks, Miriam H. Thank you for sharing with us. Up next is Finusha B, followed by Pamela P. Finusha, please press star one.
Hi, this is Finusha B from Southern California. All my thoughts are a little all over the place, but I was thankful to just hear all the really cool shares. I did not have a good night's sleep last night, and I haven't for a while. But this morning, last night, I woke up with a couple of thoughts, and I realized, like, I am so resentful. And I realized that I hadn't, that I really am someone who just needs to process my thoughts, or it will disturb my sleep. And when my sleep's disturbed, that can disturb a large quality, like the quality of my day and how I function. And so just coming onto this meeting was really great, because I just told myself that I should process in the evening and write down a journal. And I said, no, I need to do a 10-step immediately. And then listening to this reminder of the fourth step just kind of pulled it all together for me, because I discovered after I did the sixth and seventh, became aware that I have a neuro issue, and it causes me to be in a state of paralysis often. What else came to light was being able to then reflect on my childhood. I could see that my upbringing, like living with addicts and unrecovered people impacted by addiction, of course I'm going to have issues and learn certain skills and have certain neuro issues. And what I learned is that I did not learn the skills to process events that bothered me. And so I managed to pick up some really dysfunctional skills, lack of processing, and how to hold on to those things, because I knew that something wasn't right. The fourth step teaches me how to process that and how to gain some clarity on whether or not something did happen, and then what am I going to do with that? What is the reality? Am I going to still hold on to it, or can I let the hurt go and allow the healing of my higher power to come in? Or is it something that, you know, I might have a new perspective on and see it differently, and then still the healing comes in immediately? Which is such a great gift to finish that fourth and fifth step and just walk over a load lighter with some new processing skills. I am reminded that it's a daily reprieve, because although I finish that, like, I can still build up a resentment. Something can happen. Like, if I don't tend to it immediately, it stays in my body and precious. It stays in my mind, and it makes me sick. And so, therefore, I am so thankful for the 10th step. Like, I can deal with something immediately. I don't have to wait like I did the past couple of days, where I go to bed with something. Maybe I didn't realize, but the more I practice, the more I become sensitive and in tune. Thank you. I become in tune with that practice to take care of something immediately when it doesn't feel right. I loved a reading when it said, when we deal with the spiritual, we straighten out mentally and physically. What a relief, what a reward, what a way to love. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sanusha B. from California. Up next is Pamela P. from Pennsylvania. Pamela, please share with us.
Yes, hi. This is Pamela P. from Pennsylvania. Thank you. Thank you for the amazing meeting. So resentment, I dealt with sharing about resentment in another meeting earlier this morning. So my resentment against my boyfriend parents, I mean, I feel horrible saying that because they're 98 and 93. They're very healthy, but mentally they're a little off, one is dementia and one a little off or forgiveness, but very willfulness. So anyway, the plan was when my boyfriend retired, we'd be together, we travel. He is financially, you know, very comfortable, and he got two grown kids, so it was the life of the limit. I went to Dell Industry. God used him to get me out, and that was it. And I had no kids. I can't have kids, so I was set. And then they came in the picture. He wanted to take care of them. He got to sell his house or that. But anyway, why I'm angry, because I fear that he could put them in a facility and he could come visit them, make sure they're okay, and we could have life together. But no, he won't take care of them. And his three brothers really don't want to be involved with it too much. And so I'm so angry. And I'm 50 years old. I'm like, why, God, why? A lot of resentment. I had a lot of mother and daughter issues with my mother who passed away. My father was awesome, but his father is very willfulness and very mean spirit, unlike my amazing father. So I'm and today I'm with them alone, and I could feel the resentment with a cut of a knife. I want them gone. I want them out. And I got to let this go. It's hard. And it's splitting her up. It really is because that he parent. But I do care for them, but they can't be my life. So it's a lot. It make me eat a lot, I'm being honest. In no reason why I should be this situation. And I have broke up because of the reason, but I came back. And I just don't know if I ever do again, if I ever coming back. There was something came up and that brought us back together. So I'm just praying to God to get me through this because I feel like my freedom being taken away. And so the food is really calling me. It give me a false sense of comfort. And it like a daily reprieve. Talking to my sponsor 6 times a week, or talking to the fellowship, listen to the amazing meeting.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. And doing what I need to do. But, you know, God knows everything. So I'm just praying to God just for today. The resentment be calm, a little uplifting, a little bit. That's what I'm going to say. I pass. Thank you for letting me vent today.
Thanks, Pamela P. from Pennsylvania. Thanks for sharing. It is now time to close the meeting. Thank you, everyone, who shared today. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jody E. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, I will. Thank you, Laura, and thank you, everyone, for a great meeting. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand. God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you